Warning. According to the Surgeon General, women should not drink alcoholic beverages during pregnancy because of the risk of birth defects. Consumption of alcoholic beverages impairs your ability to drive a car or operate machinery and may cause you to become confused as to what liquids you should drink and liquids that you shouldn't, such as liquids with volatile sensitivity to changes in temperature and or pressure, liquids that require two mechanical seals to stay put, non-lubricating liquids that produce gases and or solids that may or may not be abrasive, liquids that are seriously goddamn sensitive to agitation, liquids that react with each other to form a solid, which is an absolute nightmare, take it from Sick Puppy, or limitlessly lubricating liquids, a nightmare at the other end of the spectrum. Take it from Spoon. And lastly, anything at all consumed by the boys at
shouldidrinkthat.com.
Hey, everybody, this is Sick Puppy.
This is the most reverend Father Spoon.
Coming at you with episode 83 for shouldidrinkthat.com.
Where even if it's crap,
we drink it.
So you don't have to.
That's right, brother. How you doing, Father Spoon?
It's been a while, dude.
I know, man. I've been a traveling man, so forgive me for being out of town for a little bit. You can blame the puppy.
But did you have a good trip, though? Or trips?
I did. It was a work trip, but ended up right smack dab in the middle of, you know, Midwest beer wasteland. But I was actually surprised, man. I was in Kansas City, and they actually have a decent beer scene.
So did you have anything to do with the whole new Google Fiber that's starting in Kansas?
No, that was not me.
Okay, just checking.
I was there for something completely different. But I did get a chance to hit up Boulevard Brewing Company, which was amazing. If you ever get a chance to go, and you're out that way, I highly recommend stopping there. Great beers, great brewery, good people, man. Had a blast. Stopped at a little place called McCoy's as well, a little brew pub restaurant in Westport. It's kind of the trendy hipster area of Kansas City.
They have hipsters?
Yes, they do. But, yeah, I had a blast, man. But I am back, and we are ready to roll. What we got going on tonight, bro?
This is actually a nice little treat from the great state of Ohio.
Yeah, kind of staying local here, huh?
Well, it's coming from the booming metropolis of Madison, Ohio.
Where is Madison, Ohio?
It's between Erie and Pennsylvania and Cleveland, Ohio. For those of you who aren't familiar with the area, Erie, Great Lake, Cleveland, mistake on the lake.
Is that off our Route 90?
Yeah, it's off of 90. So 90 is the corridor between like Buffalo, Cleveland, Canada, Buffalo, Erie, Cleveland, and basically the West. So Madison is kind of off of there. It's about 2.5 hours north of Erie, or north of Pittsburgh, sorry.
Ah, okay.
So it's kind of up there. It's like blink and you miss it.
Yeah, right on.
If you know where Ashtabula is.
Oh, I do, actually.
It's out like kind of by that way.
Okay,
So there you go. That is where Madison, Ohio is.
Maybe a future road trip to the brewery we're about to discover.
Yeah, if their beers don't suck ass, I think we should.
Yeah. I've had a couple of them before. I actually dig them. But there's a couple here tonight that I have not had, so I'm just as in the dark as you are, man. Who we got? Who are these people?
Well, first of all, if you'd like to find out more, you can go see them at ratbrew.com.
Ratbrew.
And as their bottles say, we'll infest you.
I love that tagline, dude. Pretty cool artwork on there as well.
From their website, our beers, or our beer styles, are created to provide you, our beer-drinking friends, with fresh, fun, and interesting choices. We draw on numerous brewing traditions to make our beers. Well, I think most of us do.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Obvious.
thank you, Mr. Obvious. You're a lifesaver. But we always add our own interpretation of how the styles can be best matched from our taste to your taste.
Sweet, man.
And if you are the editor of the Cellar Rats Brewery website, being the grammar Nazi that I can be, You have your, when it should be Y-O-U apostrophe R-E.
Oh, nice.
I found it actually in a couple places when I was doing the show notes. I'm like, that's not right. And like, and Word just like blew up like, oh my God, why did you do it like that? So
everything's underlined in red.
Yeah.
But hey, I'm excited, man. We're starting off a little light here for the first one, huh?
We are. The first one is the Pride of Cleveland Pilsner.
POC, baby. POC.
Now, normally we dog on Cleveland, but quite frankly, they have a really cool craft beer scene.
They got fat heads, baby.
Oh, they got fat heads. You know, Great Lakes isn't too far away. It's just they have a lot of good beer that's starting up there, and a lot of really good like brew pubs, yeah, and places to eat and everything. So
well, I think Cleveland, the ragging comes from sports more than, yeah, beer.
Yeah, that's true. And it's to the point now where, you know, you can't really rag on them because they've been bad for so long at sports. But for other stuff too, I mean, Cleveland does have a bad rap. I think it still does, whatever. And the beer scene, I think, is what's going to make them big again. They're starting to become a craft beer destination, as much as I hate saying that word. Yeah. But it's showing up actually in a lot of print that Cleveland's got some good stuff. And I've been talking to a lot of people up in Cleveland. I'd like to go check it out. Their beer fest, I've heard, is insane.
Oh, I know, dude. Yeah. I keep getting invited to that, but never make it.
I know. But we will be, hopefully soon.
Soon.
So this beer.
Yes.
Is a Euro-style Pilsner, which has unsurpassed flavor and body.
For just a Pilsner? That's kind of a bold statement, isn't it?
Well, it's the Pride of Cleveland. Take pride in it, so I guess so.
Well said. Continue.
Just enough pale malt to give off a complex floral grainy note supported by handfuls of authentic East European hops, even in the storage vessel. Wessel? Vessel.
Vessel.
To bring a deep-rooted bitterness to the palate. It's 5.5% alcohol.
So it's a sessionable light Pilsner. Let's give this a pour, dude.
I've been waiting to open a beer.
Yes, we're starting a little late because Sick Puppy fell asleep. I do apologize ahead of time.
And I'm the one with kids. Usually I'm the one
asleep. I had a tough day at Vintage Estate Beer and Wine. It took a lot out of me, man.
Wow, that is...
VEWinebeer.com. Uh-oh, what are you laughing at?
Did you pour it yet?
I don't have it. Mine's very, very heady. It smells like corn.
I want to know the first thing, first beer that comes to your mind when you smell this.
First beer that comes to mind? That's a tough one. It just smells like a macro Pilsner. It's got that lot of corn adjunct aroma to it.
Once I say it, you'll never get it out of your head.
You're going to say Duquesne, aren't you?
No.
Oh, thank God.
No. This has flavor, I'm sure.
Say it. I don't know.
Oh, no, this has aroma to it. Golden Anniversary.
Really? Wow, dude. I don't even remember that beer, let alone matching up aroma to it.
I do because it was my first beer ever.
Right on.
That smell never got out of my nose.
It just smells very... Wow. I mean, it is a Pilsner, so you're going to get that. But
yeah. So it took me back there for a moment.
And it has been like in the 90s, so this beer might be a welcome addition to a hot day.
That is bitter.
They do say it's bitter.
I will get, you know what? I'll give them credit for that. It is bitter.
Wow. Impressively so.
Deep-rooted bitterness on the palate is pretty damn straight on. Spot on and whoa.
Cool. Yeah, I expected something way lighter and than that. Whew.
But you know what? If you're going to take like a picture of this beer, this is like your standard American macro beer is what it looks like.
Yeah, kind of, I think it's a little darker than that, like a little bit more amber.
Yeah, I had a nice frothy head to it when it poured. It's, which, of course, you know, fell down fast. But
yeah, mine's actually staying pretty good in my new. I have a new Schlafly glass. Schlafly. It's staying pretty steady. Got a lot of bubbles. Good carbonation.
This
it's pretty. I like this, man. I like it.
It's bitter. It's very bitter.
It is very bitter. I think someone looking for a traditional Pilsner might be offended by this one a little bit. Or just maybe not so much offended, but surprised a little maybe.
Yeah. Because this isn't like any Pilsner I've ever had.
No, it like they said, I mean, they described it well. Hoppy bitterness. I mean, it's still got that light Pilsner feel to it, but
yeah,
on the back end, it's pure hop bitterness. So if you're a hop head and you're not so into Pilsners, I would highly recommend this one. It's so the best of both worlds, you know?
That's what was kind of confusing for me, is that it's I've gotten more accustomed to a lot of different Pilsners that are out there now ever since I had Victory Prima Pils, which, you know, changed the way I view Pilsner beer. So now I'm kind of anal about what I have when I drink a Pilsner. It's throwing me off that it's light, but it's so bitter.
Yeah,
I
dig
used
it.
To that.
Because I like Pilsners. I just don't reach for them often because they are just a Pilsner to me. You know, they're not very exciting beers, you know. Not to me, at least, anyway. But this one I like because it's just that much different.
Well, you know, with most Pilsners, though, I don't think they're supposed to be really all that exciting. Like,
right,
you drink
right.
it because you cut your grass or you're just sitting back chilling or whatever.
Yeah, oh, I totally understand. It's a great style. It's just not one I reach for, you know, on a regular basis is all.
If I'm cutting my grass, I reach for. If I do yard work, I reach for it.
It's just, you know, I tend to go more IPA or stout, and everything else in between is kind of like butter, you know. But
The bitter butter.
Bitter butter.
But that's just, wow, that is extremely bitter. Well, I should say it's bitter for my taste.
Yeah, I mean, so I wouldn't call it extremely bitter. But
Poppy.
It's up there. What up?
Look at this, the labels.
No way. They have the Hop and Frog kind of deal to it.
Yeah, they do. So, ladies and gentlemen, we have the perfect homebrew labels.
Oh, sweet. 12-ounce. Look at that. I bet they were talking to Fred Karm. Good man. Spread the wealth, Fred. That is awesome. If you don't know what we're talking about, we've mentioned in past shows about Hop and Frog Brewing, and if you're a homebrewer, his bomber bottles are amazing because the labels he uses peel right off like a sticker. There's no glue residue or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like Cellar Rats guys followed suit. That's amazing. So if you want 12-ounce bottles that are easy to remove the label, these are definitely what you're looking for.
So Cellar Rats, you just got a nice little boost up in our thoughts about you because of that.
Yeah, man. Now this label's gone on our should I drink that tour box.
Our little portable
studio student. Box. Yeah, that's awesome, man. Good catch, Spoon. Way to pay attention.
I get that every once in a while.
But yeah, I mean, the aroma to me just screams corn and adjunct. But
yeah.
The taste
get past
is
the smell.
Completely something completely different, man. It's a Pilsner, but it's a hoppy, bitter Pilsner. I like it. And it's a nice session beer as well. It's 5.5?
Yeah, it's 5.5. I'm not too sure if I could drink a lot of these just because of the bitterness.
Oh, I agree. Totally agree. Ah.
And if you're in the state of Ohio at Vintage Estate Wine and Beer, it is only $1.79 a bottle.
Yeah, and that's another thing I wanted to mention too. I mean, you know, if you're in Ohio, these beers are very, very well priced for the quality of beer that they are.
Which is the state that we are currently drinking them in, because they're not in Pennsylvania.
I may or may not have crossed state lines with beer. Bastards.
They're collectible bottles with fluid not meant for consumption.
There you go.
Oops.
Yeah, dude, I was going to actually bring some beers back from Kansas City, but A, I was working way too many hours, didn't get a chance to, and B, I was just too cheap and too much of a hurry to check my bags, so I had to do a carry-on. My flight was like literally 10 minutes apart, my connection flight.
Ooh.
Yeah, I flew into Atlanta and then had to rush through the next gate in that giant fucking shithole of an airport back to Pittsburgh. I really shouldn't call it a shithole of an airport. It's a nice airport. It's just gigantic.
Yeah.
Although, I did notice in my travels, there's a lot of brew pubs in airports, like craft beer places.
Really? Dude, I haven't traveled in a long time, so I couldn't even tell you.
I don't think there was much in Pittsburgh. I don't remember. I'm pretty sure there wasn't. I think there was a TGI Fridays that I stopped at in Pittsburgh airport that had Great Lakes on tap. That was kind of cool. But when I landed in at a layover in Minneapolis, there was a Rock Bottom Brewery there.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
So I stopped and had a beer there, obviously. And then when I got to Kansas City, there was a Sam Adams brew pub there. And then on the way back, when I hit Atlanta, there's a Stillwater Brewing Company.
Okay, yeah, no, still,
yeah. Yeah, in the Atlanta airport, and a Sam Adams. And I must admit, when I was going up to Gate A, the escalator took me right past the Budweiser Bar. That was the actual name of it, the Budweiser Bar. I'm like, nah, I think I'll just pass on that one. We're good. Nothing to see here. Move along.
Did you yell profanities at him?
You should have, like, threw shit at the people eating in there.
You suck!
Maybe next time. I have a feeling I might be going through Atlanta again. Puppy's going to be doing some more traveling, hopefully. So,
well, you know, speaking of macro beers.
Yes.
A certain streak of mine finally came to an end.
Uh-oh. Do tell, my friend.
I have not drank a macro beer since December 26th, 2010.
You're talking about macros in general.
And last weekend, I finally had my first one since then. So in 18 months. And I thought about it because at the time, I was at the tailgate party. And I thought about it. I'm like, you know what?
Sometimes why you should... have to, you know?
You know, I'm there to socialize with my friends. I'm not the stuck-up snob that a lot of beer people are. That's actually a small group of beer people are. And the guy felt bad. He's like, I'm so sorry. He's like, I only have Coors Light here. And I was like, you know what? Fuck it. Give me a Coors Light. He's like, really? I'm like, you know what? There's a time and place for every beer.
Yeah,
and right now,
be a dick, man. Right, right.
And you know what? He gave me that beer, and he was so happy. And he's like, you need a dog, you need burgers, whatever you want, dude. I'm like, you know what? There is a time and place for everything.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Because, you know,
and
eventually
he respects you
have
more
to get
as
over
a beer guy for doing that, too.
Well, you know, it's, everyone has to get over their snobbery.
Hallelujah. We should have said that 20 episodes ago.
Yeah. Well here's the thing is, the original reason why I did it is I wanted to see if I could go a full year without drinking a macro, see how hard it would be. And it was difficult because there's a lot of situations where you're stuck with that.
So I'm lucky in that respect, if I can interject for a second.
Oh, sure.
When I go to visit my family, my mom and dad, my dad, his favorite beer is whatever's on sale. So he'll buy anything, $8 a case, whatever. Natty Light, you know, that kind of shit. But
no, I'm
he
not
knows
that, far.
That I'm a beer guy, right? So every time I come visit, which is usually about once a week or so, you know, on the Sunday visit.
Yeah.
He's always got like a 6 or 12 pack of like Sam Adams or something in there for me because he knows that I'm a craft beer guy. So I never run into that situation
awkward.
Where I go to the parents' house and have to drink dad's shitty beer. Outside of that, I'm always at a place with craft beer anyway. So I never really run into that issue, honestly. I mean, I haven't been to a wedding in 100 years, so that rules out the whole BMC at the wedding deal.
Oh, when it comes to weddings, I just drink like
hard,
gin and tonics.
Hard shit. Yeah. For a while there, dude, I was that beer snob. I mean, I just kind of did it just to be an ass, really, is just to prove a point.
Yeah.
I would bring a cooler of my own homebrew or craft beer to a wedding reception. Like, I'm not drinking that shit. I hate it. But, you know, it worked out well because I would end up sharing good craft beer with other people there and right. turning them on to it. So that's the main reason I actually really did it.
Well, what's odd is, so when I started my little streak there
yeah.
was right before kiddo number two was born. So I would look at him as like a visual representation of how long it had been. And then I was just like, you know what? This is stupid because with all the snobs that are just appearing on like Twitter and Facebook, like people just being jerks, I'm like, you know what? This is stupid. Drink whatever the hell you like.
Yeah, exactly, dude. I mean,
and you know what's funny is one of the biggest I don't want to say douchebags, but pretty close to it on of people that we follow. I saw them drinking. There was a PBR and there was something else. I saw him drinking.
But PBR is trendy and cool, man. It's the hipster beer of Pittsburgh.
Well, let's say, I was like, you're such a hypocrite because you rip on everybody else for drinking.
Oh, dude, beers. I see that in every one of the people I know that do that yeah. and talk like that. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
And he said, well, so are you. I'm like, no, I don't rip on people. If they drink that, fine. All I say is once you start ripping on me because of what I drink, I'm going to tear the shit out of you.
I mean, I do rip on people for drinking the BMCs, but it's yeah. all in jest, it's, you know. I'm not criticizing your beer choices by any means. You know, whatever you enjoy. Roll with it, man.
Exactly. And with that, let's get to our next beer.
More craft beer for me.
Wow. Exactly.
Man, all this bullshit, and I still got some Pilsner left.
Drink it.
What are we doing next? Let's do a little Rat Tail Ale. What do you say?
Okay. Sure, the Rat Tail Ale is 6.0%.
Now, this one I've had before, so I'm going to let you... I want your first reactions and everything on this one.
Okay. It's bitterness and aromatic hops dominate this American Amber Ale. Strong, full malt backbone to match. When you taste this, you know you're drinking a beer inspired by the adventurous West Coast Ales.
See, that's a bold statement right there, too, isn't it?
Blah, blah, blah.
Comparing yourself to the adventurous West Coast Ales. I don't know, man. And this one comes in at a whopping $1.99, folks. Which and I like these beers, and the price point for me is just amazing. You know, sometimes you go to the beer store and you get sticker shock walking out of there, and you're like, damn, I spent that much? But these are really good craft beers for a decent price, so... I'm very happy with that.
Or see, that's what always pisses me off when you see a really high price, like you know it's so much higher than other places around there.
Oh.
And they say, well, I got to make a living. Well, there's making a living and there's price gouging.
Dude,
there's raping your wallet.
You just reminded me, there's a place called The Beer Kitchen in Kansas City.
The Beer Kitchen?
Yeah, it's in hipster land. They had this section on their menu of like, Choice Bomber bottles.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, it was all crap that we can get here very easily. But let's say those beers were around here, the range from maybe $8 a bomber to, I'd say on the high end, 20.
Okay.
In that bar, those same beers were $14 to 40.
Oh, Jesus.
They were charging like $40 for like a Southern Tier bomber. It was fucking insane, dude. I was just like, I didn't know what to say. I'm like, you got to be fucking kidding me. I mean, they had some decent priced beers there too, but what they considered rare was just, you know, way overpriced. It was ridiculous. But it's trendy, so people buy the shit, you know.
Well, I was at as I'm waiting for the head on my beer to settle.
Yeah, these are
a little
very carbonated, by the way.
I was at Around the Corner Cantina this past week for a little social hour.
Local place, correct?
Yeah, local place, Lawrenceville hipster land.
Oh, it's in okay.
And I was looking at the menu, and they had bombers like across the board were $11.
Oh, no matter what it was, $11.
And some of these bombers were were Rust Belt, which we can get for $3.
Yeah, I was going to say $3.99 at a max, maybe.
And there's a few that I saw that I know I can buy for like $4, and they're selling them for $11.
Yeah, that's bar prices, but that's a little bit extreme, yeah.
I was like, there's no way. And the person that was hosting it saw the look in my face. I told him, he's like, go for the drafts.
Yeah.
I mean, he's like, I'm telling you right now, go for the drafts.
I can understand maybe a 50% markup, but come on.
Well, and even there, that's where I took the now infamous picture of me drinking the Tecate. I had a 24-ounce.
Like saying that.
Well, I said that when I ordered it too. The girl kind of looked at
can
me.
Can I have a Tecate?
And the girl said, "Well, they're still kind of warm." I'm like, "I don't care. It's Tecate.
It's crap."
She's like, "Okay." I'm like, "Look, lady, I'm only here for like an hour and a half. I gotta get the most bang for my buck. And right now, Tecate, 24-ounce can.
Oh, that was a 24-ounce can. I didn't even notice.
Oh yeah, for $4.50, I'm doing it."
Oh, that's funny, man.
I did, and to my defense, I did also have a Victory Hop Devil too while I was there. So,
that's good.
That was until I saw Tecate.
Tecate.
Yes. Okay. So this smells like a regular amber, American amber.
Wow, dude, that's a big, thick, foamy head. Mine actually kind of looks like a clitoris right now.
You dick, I'm trying to swallow this.
Well, it does. I'm going to eat my clitoris. Well, not mine, but, you know, someone's.
Hmm. Again, with the bitterness.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think this one, like I said, this one I've had before. What I notice about this one, what I love about it, I think you're a fan of Scottish ale type beers.
Yeah.
There's a really heavy malt backing to this.
Hmm.
And to me, it's just malt and hop bitterness in your face. It's all pretty much right up front, man.
Well, I'm definitely getting the hops. The hop aroma was extremely strong on this.
Mm-hmm. I like this beer a lot, actually.
Wow, that bitterness though is just really tossing me around. Because I'm not used to a lot
that,
of my amber ales.
Mood thing, you know how you know? Maybe you're just not in the mood for that hoppy beer tonight. You know what I mean? How we always talk about, you know, your environment affects how you, you know, interpret the beer or your mood or.
I'm watching the Olympics. Does that count?
No.
All right.
By the way, that I know that was all, you know, based over the pond, but the opening ceremony for the Olympics was just weird.
But did you see that they had parts of Train Spotting in there?
Yeah, yeah.
It was just the music thing was pretty cool, but
I don't know. It's just odd.
They're odd all the time, so I don't understand why people always say it's the worst ever. Because really,
well, people were saying, "Oh, it sucked" and everything. I don't think it sucked. It was just odd. I mean, because you know that was based on their culture, their heritage, their history. So we just don't get it because it's not our history.
And because we're arrogant, bitchy Americans.
Exactly.
I can guarantee you, very few people understood that was the guy that created the World Wide Web that was in that house.
What, Al Gore?
Yeah, him too.
Wow, dude, I just kind of filled my glass up, and the head on this beer is just amazing.
Yeah, it's,
I got about a four-finger head on that bad boy.
Yeah, that's about what my poor head. It's decent. I mean, it's very hazy, though.
But the beer itself?
Yeah, it's... Although,
yeah, I mean...
Oh, we got a lot of carbonation action going on.
It's a dark...
Inside this.
Look how... Like a dark caramel?
It's kind of like a... to me, this looks like a... It's kind of like a hazy iced tea.
It kind of reminds me of a Scottish ale, really, the color.
It's more... And when I say iced tea, I don't mean like you know, like a Turner's iced tea or anything like that.
You're
I mean
talking like sun tea out of the bag kind of shit.
Yeah, like grandpa's outside with the tea leaves making this shit.
Yeah, I like that beer a lot. I dig it.
Yeah, I don't know if I would drink too much of this one again.
This one I actually have. I've been to the States drinking this one probably about a six-pack worth of it a couple times.
It's not bad. It's not something I would pick up again, I think, unless I was at, let's see. This is really bitter. Actually, I would probably have this with, oh, you know, I have to look at their menu again. It's been a while since I've eaten there. Hey, how is that Vintage Estate has that new hummus pizza?
It's actually not new. It's been on the menu on the back page for a while. I just have been missing it.
I've never seen it.
Dude, it's amazing. It's got hummus, like a spicy hummus, cucumbers, tomatoes. It's a real. It's a cold flatbread. And they put hot sauce on the top of it. Just, it was incredible, man. I have a new addiction.
Now, do they make the hummus there?
That I do not know. I'm going to say yes because it makes them sound cooler.
That works?
I don't know. But I don't know. They have that new kitchen prep area and everything now. So that might be actually be the truth.
Oh, that would be cool if it is.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. But yeah, it was great.
Either that or it's something like that. The new Arby's commercial where the guy goes, "We're out of cheese," and the little old dude from Italy. But instead, Phil goes over to India.
He gets the hummus.
Gets the hummus and brings it back.
Good Lord! Cheers, bro.
And then Sandy looks at him and goes, "Phil, we make our own.
We make our own." What's this coming in? Did you say 6%?
Yeah, 6%.
So we're pretty much doing, you know, sessionable beers tonight.
Sessionable for us.
Yeah, right, for us. They're a little bit above average, but yeah, not too bad. 5.5 so far, 6%. Yeah.
But I think the thing is with the bitterness in both of these beers is they're both not beers that you can chug, really, or should chug.
Yeah, some why people would think, you want know, to anyway, right?
Well, because some people grab a beer and they're like, okay, I got to finish this quicker. I just
oh, duel. Yeah, that would hurt, beer. Actually. Yeah. In that sense, yeah, that bitterness is going to make you choke. But, yeah, overall, man, nice Rat Tail Ale glasses there, Spoon.
I love these bottles, though. I love the stickers on them. It's,
yeah, the way they do the labeling, that glue is, everyone should do this.
If my kids were up right now, I'd stick this on one of their heads. Here, Teaspoon Tape Head.
Props to the nerd that invented that.
I like this.
That rocks. Nice. Yep. All right, dude.
If I had something cool to stick this stuff on, I would.
Do we have any beer events or anything coming up, man? What do we got?
It's funny you should mention that. We do.
What do we have? What do we have? Actually, yeah. Go ahead. I actually forgot about this until just right now.
It's the 7th annual Slippery Rock Beer and Wine Fest held by our good friends up at North Country Brewing, northcountrybrewing.com, Saturday, August 4th, 2012, all day
long. All day, baby.
Join the crew at North Country Brewing Company for a day of celebration, celebrating their various brews that is at the Slippery Rock Beer and Wine Festival. If beer isn't your thing, don't worry. Wine is on the menu as well.
Right, and this is a, I mean, it's a smaller beer fest, but not so small that, you know, it's not worth going to. You know what
right.
I mean?
Slippery Rock is quite a distance from Pittsburgh or from most major, you know, areas.
Yeah, it's a small little college town, but there's a lot of great craft brewers there. I think if you go to the northcountrybrewing.com, they should have more details there, but.
And dear God, their food is so good.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
And should I drink that? We'll be there.
Indeed, we will. In one aspect or the other, sober, drunk, I don't know. It should be a good time, man. It's a good day. It's all day long, like you said. And, you know, if you're a beer guy and the spouse is not, you got the wine, you know, or vice versa. If you're a beer girl and your spouse is not, he can drink the wine all day.
That is true, too.
Yeah, kind of the best of both. It's a nice little fest. So I'm looking forward to that. I don't, however, know what time it starts. Do you?
I do not.
That information is a mystery.
And one that we would really love if they would put it on their website.
Yeah. I mean, it does say all day, but, you know, it's a beer fest, and they say all day, I'm showing up at 7 o'clock in the morning, damn it. I want a beer. But yeah, let's just put this Twitter feed and Facebook. We'll let you know what time that starts. We'll talk to our North Country contact up there, which is a transplant from Erie Brewing.
Yes, sir.
Our good friend Jim Hicks is now doing the North Country Brewing gig, so, which is really, really cool.
Congratulations to little Jimmy.
Indeed.
Glad you got, I guess it's a step in the career he wants to go for, and it is closer towards where he actually lives. So
right on, man. Yeah.
Pretty good for him. It's, you know, he's able to provide for his family by working in beer, so it's never a bad thing.
I know, dude. I tell him all the time how jealous I am of his ass.
But we will be if we're not tweeting from it, there's going to be pictures. I'm still waiting to find out if I'm going to be there, but Sick Puppy will definitely be there.
Yes.
And, just make sure you're following our Facebook feed, facebook.com/shouldidrinkthat, or twitter.com/SIDT.
Or even the G+, baby.
Which we're loving right now.
Yes.
So much fun. The quick link for that is G+.2, the word two, T-O, /shouldidrinkthat. Because for some reason, Google Plus does not allow vanity URLs yet, you cocksuckers. So that's what we have to go with. But it's a fun thing because it's very easy for us to share photos on the fly. And you don't have all that busy noise that you get from Facebook right now. Like people posting their little fucking political and religious memes and shit. No, it's just, it's mostly...
Oh, dude, yeah, I'm getting really tired of those. Click like if you agree. Or click like if you recognize this. I'm like, God, Facebook has turned into MySpace.
Exactly. Thank you. I was saying that to somebody else. I'm like, people don't realize this is turning into MySpace.
I'd like to find Patient Zero who started that, you know, click like if you agree shit and kill them. Because you can't really bitch at your friends for it. Then they get all offensive and mad. But it's for a good cause. But dude, you're clogging up my fucking... my timeline is full of crappy pictures.
All I have to say is, I'm going to drink whatever beer I want. I'm going to eat whatever Chick-fil-A I want.
Oh, that really got me flustered, dude. I had mentioned that, you know, because the whole Chick-fil-A thing was pretty much bullshit. And I know their stance and all that crap, but it was irrelevant. I was trying to make a point to do your fucking research before you post blind shit on Facebook or anywhere else. And, dude, I got threads underneath that just bashing Chick-fil-A and how I'm wrong. And I'm like, that's not the fucking point. I don't give a fuck about the chicken. I don't give a fuck about that chicken. I was just trying to make a point to do your fucking research before you post shit that ain't true.
I had a guy calling me a bigot because I said I like Chick-fil-A. And I said, dude. I was like, dude, all right, first of all, what? It's the president's views, whatever. You know what? I go there to buy chicken.
Exactly.
I go there to buy waffle fries, all right? Unless they come out and say, die, whitey, die. Shut up and give me some goddamn chicken.
Oh, my God.
And here's the funny thing. I've asked people, you know, if they were offended by that, and most of them were like, no.
Dude, if you don't fucking stupid. Agree with them, don't fucking eat chicken there. That's the bottom line. So welcome to America. You know?
Politics should not, let's put it this way, everything should be politicized.
Dude, I know we don't get political on this show, but I just have to make one little short point, and it kind of connects
to the
Chick-fil-A thing. Yeah. It's not. But, dude, people in this fucking country need to get their goddamn priorities straight. They're bitching at a fucking retail business about their views, and like Operation Fast and Furious from our own government has killed 300 fucking people, but nobody says a word about that. It's okay, but don't fuck with my chicken. This just pisses me off.
If people want to get all high and mighty too, why don't you look at the companies that sell the oil that make their gasoline?
Oh hell yeah, dude.
Look at the companies that have the sweatshops making your clothes. Yeah, shut up.
Yeah, welcome to Walmart, you motherfuckers. I always love the people that are like, that bash Walmart all the time, yet I'll see them there next Tuesday, I guarantee it.
Yeah.
I'll never go there. Hey, how you doing, Bob?
No, granted, I don't go to Chick-fil-A much anymore.
I actually don't like Chick-fil-A because of greasy shit. I'm not a fast food guy, though, so I should just shut up.
I love their food, but we have someone in our family with a nut allergy, and they use peanut oil.
That's right.
So we can't eat there anymore. So really, it doesn't
matter
to me.
McDonald's, baby, that's the place for you.
Pretty much, yeah, unfortunately. That's the only place for
I'm actually...
And Arby's, but...
Oh, Arby's, too?
Yeah, Arby's were kosher.
Well, there you go. If you got peanut allergy children or family members, Arby's, McDonald's.
It's extremely, limited to what we can get. But yeah, you know, keep your views shit out of my food and out of my drink.
But it's the point is, I don't know. This is where our social media, to me, goes just horribly wrong. Because people post shit with their emotions and not the facts sometimes, and it just pisses me off.
Well, everyone has to be so goddamn passionate about everything.
I'm guilty of it, too. I've posted shit that I agree with, and then went back on it going, wait, fuck, that was wrong. And I'm guilty of that, but it's very rare that I do that.
Yeah, I'm just tired of the whole thing.
Yeah, me too. All right.
Everyone has to be pissed off at everything. So you know what, America and everyone else, shut up, relax, have a beer.
Dude, I mean, I've unfollowed fucking people on Facebook, friends of mine, because all they post 12 times a day is the same fucking bullshit. You know, doesn't have to be political or whatever. It's just stop posting 15 pictures a day of crap I don't want to see.
I don't like Obama. I don't like Ron Paul. I don't like Romney. All right?
I don't like any of them. That's why I'm a fucking registered independent. I hate all of them.
So really, all of your ads, first of all, that are mostly incorrect.
Oh, yeah, dude. I mean,
stop posting this shit on the wall.
If anybody fucking believes any of those political ads word for word, they should not be allowed to vote. These fucking people are just sheep, dude.
Nobody would turn out.
Yeah, nobody does anyway.
That's true, too.
All right, rant over?
Rant over.
Rant over. That felt good, though. I felt good, man. We don't usually get political on the show, but goddamn it, I feel good.
It's been a while. I have this blog post
I
have going in my head.
Right now. I like it. I like it. I miss that.
Well, what the whole thing is, you know, it's. I think it was it's 2 weeks ago. Basically, the internet hit a boiling point on everything. Between it started with Sandusky or with the Fair
tunnel
Report.
Tunnel vision, fucking people, and people on their soapbox. They have no fucking. They shouldn't be on that soapbox.
So we're dealing with the Fair Report. The free report about Sandusky and Paterno.
Yeah.
So Penn State people are all flipping out.
See, I mean,
then we
locally, to us, that's a huge fucking news item, but somebody outside the state probably is like, man, whatever.
Then we have that shooting at the movie, and then people were getting pissed because of, you know, comments you make about the shooting and stuff. And then, you know, they take down the Paterno statue, and people flip out again. I was like, you know what? I hate the internet right now.
Dude.
All of you people suck.
I think it was a Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I don't know. Somebody took a picture that kind of summed up the whole fucking situation, and I had to laugh at it. And then when they were taking down the statue,
yeah,
they had it covered up in a big tarp. The only thing sticking up was his arm up like this with his thumb up.
Yeah.
So it was like a covered dude with his thumb sticking out of the fucking tarp. It just looked funny. But, yeah, anyway, I digress. But
I went to Pitt, so I'm always going to hate Penn State. I really don't care what happens.
I was growing up with that slogan, Pitt is shit.
You know, it's okay to go back to hating Penn State again. The way I see it.
Jesus.
Anyways.
Yeah, we're going to open up a fucking... hate box with that discussion, dude.
Probably, but you know what? You people can get over it. Drink a beer
exactly.
And shut up.
Shut the fuck up and drink a beer. We're all friends here, god damn it. And that's another thing, dude. One thing I always live by, and that's why I'm kind of surprised I'm talking about it on the show right now. Friends should never talk politics. You won't be friends much longer.
Bad fucking idea.
Bad fucking idea. Or people you just met, shut the fuck up about politics.
Don't we have an audio clip? Or Kurt Johnson from the Real Happy Hour, I think we'd have to talk to Z about this.
Oh, yeah, I think he has a clip the whole of collection.
Kirk going, bad fucking idea.
Bad fucking idea.
All right. So this
may
last
sound
one.
A tad pedantic, but you've got great tits. Oh, the good old days. That's fucking funny shit.
So it's funny that we're talking about all this, and then the final beer that we have is the Black Rat Imperial Stout, which has a sickle in here.
Oh, yeah, to the commie rat.
It's a commie rat. It's a red commie rat.
Wow, that is kind of ironic, isn't it?
Don't you think?
I do.
Okay, so this is going to kill me, too.
Yeah, this is a milk stout. I apologize. I did not know this was a lactose-infused stout until recently. So, but, you know, got to try them all. It's like Pokemon. Well, got to collect them all.
The Black Rat is a juggernaut of a beer. This Imperial Milk Stout is big and full of flavor and may remind you of an Irish coffee with lots of cream and sugar. Oh, Jesus Christ, I'm going to die. This monster beer clocks in at 9.2 ABV.
So there's your saving grace right there. It's a big, bold beer.
It truly is bittersweet and velvety smooth.
Velvety smooth. So when I hear velvety smooth, I think nitro beers.
I think cream
stouts. I think Velvet Underground.
Is it Velvet? Yeah, Velvet Jones. I think that was his name. Eddie Murphy Velvet on Saturday Night Live.
Oh, yeah, I know who you're talking about now. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How to be a hoe.
How to be a hoe.
All right, well, let's... Oh, Christ. Let's just...
Sorry, Spoon.
For those of you new to the show, Spoon is lactose intolerant.
He drinks it so you lactose intolerant people don't have to.
It's going to hurt. Pretty much. As long as it's not tall grass buffalo sweat again.
Oh, by the way.
You dick.
I want to yell at everyone in Ohio around the Boardman area right now.
Why? Is this a tad bit pedantic, too?
It's a tad pedantic. Yeah, I was out there. I was recommending the buffalo sweat from tall grass to somebody when I was there today. Lo and behold, they stopped carrying everything Tallgrass.
Why?
Because it wasn't selling. That's why I'm bitching at everyone in the border area. Buy more fucking Tallgrass, damn it.
Oh,
it's the only place I can get the Tallgrass beers. Now it's... Wah, 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 wah.
Oh, this smells good.
Oh, it's a good beer. I've had this one before, like I said. So.
God damn, why did you buy a bunch of beers that you've already had then?
Because we've never done these on the show before.
That's true.
I've had two out of the three, so.
So, yes, being the lactose intolerant fanboy that I am.
Take one for the team, brother.
I am definitely taking one for the team. This does smell fantastic,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, dude, this is a great beer. This is probably my favorite.
A little bit of chocolate.
I think they only make these three beers, dude. I'm not sure. Don't quote me on that.
Mm-mm. They make more. That's on their website.
They make like seasonals and shit, I assume. But I think these are their three staple beers. But yes, the Black Rat Imperial Stout, man.
Again, all right, let's give this one a try.
Rocking at 9.2% ABV, bittersweet and velvety smooth.
Wow. Holy shit, that is velvety smooth.
Yeah, it's good, but it's got that a little bit of that bite to it. So it's not like your, you know, cream stout like Guinness kind of example. It's got some malt backing to it.
That is.
I like it a lot.
That's damn tasty.
Yeah, this is the most expensive one out of the three. I think it's $1.89, maybe. Something like that.
I already took the label off.
But yeah, it's a great beer, dude. Love it.
$2.89.
There you go. Less than $3 for 9.2% beer.
That's pretty good. I like this. It's very creamy. Wow.
Yeah, it's a nice
beer,
creamy, dude.
But it's excuse me. Uh-oh. Here we go.
Already? Damn.
No.
That, I did not affected you that quickly.
It's not bad. I like it. It's
It does have that good creaminess to it, but what I like about it, because I'm not a big fan of the cream stouts so much, I don't really visit them very often, because I'm not a big fan of nitro beers because of that same, you know, idea. I really don't prefer silky smooth in my beer. However, with that said, I think this has a nice bite to the back end of it. It's got a little malt backing to it that kind of separates it from the rest. And it's very, very good.
It's, you know what? It does taste like an Irish coffee.
It does, yeah. Yeah.
I'm actually really surprised by that because their other descriptions were kind of putting me off just based on my own personal preference. And I'm not, I don't drink cream, and I really don't drink that much coffee, but this is really damn tasty.
Yeah, I like this beer, man.
I'm getting a roastiness out of it.
Right, exactly. Yep.
With a little chocolatey.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a great beer, dude. Like I said, it's probably my favorite out of the three. I know we're doing three different styles, but this is my go-to one every time I'm in Ohio. And, you know, even with that said, I don't think this is distributed outside of Ohio. I could be wrong on that because they're a very small brewery. They even do a little wine. But what's the name of the winery? I don't remember. I do believe it is Deboned Vineyards Incorporated. DEBONNE. And I think, you know, maybe the cellar rest thing's kind of a side project to the winery. I'm not sure.
I'm just savoring this beer. This is really good.
Oh, dude,
beer.
Yeah, this is nice. Like, this kind of beer. I'm like, it's that fireplace beer, that, you know, fireside beer. Sitting and a sipping with a good fire. Love it. Love it. And it'll kick you in the ass.
A friend of mine just sent me, speaking of all the rants on Facebook.
Uh-oh.
She sent me one that said a pint of Guinness has less calories than a pint of orange juice.
That's true.
I'll drink to that.
See, that's another myth, man. Darker beers are not higher in calories, damn it. It's just a different color.
Well, this is another trend that I'm just tired of is, you know, everyone putting words over all these pictures. I think I mentioned that.
Oh, I know, yeah. It's MySpace. Dude, more and more I'm leaning towards Google Plus, dude.
Because that's where all the beer geeks are right now. It's
right, but on the other side, you know, you got to stick with Facebook because that's where everyone else is at, and they're not going anywhere. I don't see a mass exodus from Facebook to Google Plus just yet.
No.
But it did happen with MySpace to Facebook, but I think Google Plus has a ways to go before that happens. You know, Google's always in their beta mode, so I think people are, if you're not a geek per se, I think people are a little less tolerant of Google in that respect. They just want shit to work. So
pretty much.
Yeah. Really. All right, dude. What was your favorite out of the three tonight, man?
You know,
I know three different styles. I get that, but
I have to say this last one.
Yeah, me too. And all three of them, I think, are great beers. You know, some people might find the first two a little bit more bitter than they want it, but I like that. To me, that's a reason to go for the cellar rest brewery because it's our own interpretation of that pilsner, you know, or the ale.
Yeah, that's true.
So if you want a little twist on it, that's a way to go, man. And hopefully, you know, in the upcoming big tap-in, 2013, we'll get a chance to talk to these guys a lot more, a bit more extensively about, you know, their operations and what they do. Hell, we might even do a little G-plus hangout with them. So
I'm always up for that.
Yeah, we got some plans going to talk to some brewers and have all you guys involved as well. So we're going to give that a shot here soon, and hopefully that'll work out. Speaking of that, dude.
Yeah.
How was your experience with the Dogfish Stone and Will Wheaton?
Wheaton?
Wheaton. Say Will. Will. Say Wheaton. Wheaton.
Say Will Wheaton.
Will Wheaton.
That joke never gets old.
If you don't watch Family Guy, you're going to be so lost right now. But yeah, dude, I mean, I was just coming back from Kansas City the same night that that hangout was going on, so I completely missed it. I was freaking exhausted. So how'd that go, man? I mean, what was your experience with that whole G-plus hangout?
Wow. I'm trying to think the best way to explain it.
I'd like to hear like the good and the bad, you know, negatives and the positives about the whole thing.
Okay. Fucking mind-blowing.
Oh, wow. That's a good description. Telling, yeah.
It was so cool.
Awesome. So now I'm sorry I missed it.
And I'm only hyping it up because you did miss it. Oh. It actually sucked ass. No.
Yeah, sorry. Jet lag, man. That's exhausted.
So what happened with this, for those of you not on Google Plus or that might have missed out on this, Google Plus has a feature called Hangouts, which is actually what we use right now to record our shows.
Yes.
Because Puppy is way up in the north, I'm way in the south. So Hangouts is like Skype, basically. But it's free. But
a lot more robust than Skype.
It's a lot cooler.
Indeed.
And what happened is Sam Calagione from Dogfish Head, Greg from Stone, and Will Wheaton.
Wheaton.
Yes, from Stand By Me, Star Trek, Big Bang Theory, and all that.
He's a big tech nerd.
Who is also a very big home brewer.
Budding home brewer, right?
Yes,
he's just getting started, right?
Yeah, he's the moderator for it. And all you have to do is RSVP, and when you do a Google Hangout, you could broadcast it live, so it will actually broadcast on YouTube because Google owns YouTube. So what happens with that is anybody can watch this. Mm-hmm. And the person who's moderating it, which in this case Will Wheaton, you know, I have to keep saying his name like that from now on.
I know, dude. It's just, for a fan of Family Guy, that joke just never ends. It's like the fighting chicken.
Yes. So while Will Wheaton
gave me an expired coupon, you son of a bitch. Go ahead.
So when you're the moderator, you can control whose screen you see, who comes in, and shit like that. Basically, you're like the producer, I guess, or the director of the show.
Yeah.
So it's this big virtual chat room. You can have up to 10 windows, but these guys only had like just the three of them.
Well, you can have 10 windows, but tons more on that following the conversation, right?
Yeah.
IM or whatever.
So basically the three guys sat down, you know, in their own respective homes, and they talked beer for an hour and a half.
Yeah, I'm so sorry
actually,
I missed
that. Hour and 15 minutes. But what was cool is, of course, you know, with Greg from Stone,
by the way, that fucker needs to shave.
Yeah,
a lot of people say homeless man.
He says a lot of people say he has to shave his beard.
Come on, Greg.
It was Greg being Greg.
Yeah.
If you heard him talk, you know what that means. Will, it was cool to see Will as a fanboy of craft beer and just like
geeking out.
Yeah, because it's like how a lot of us feel about craft beer and homebrewing and everything. So we're like, wow, man, this is just fucking awesome, man. And you can see him getting into it, and you forget the fact that, you know, he's a celebrity. He's like, now he's like one of us.
Right.
And then while Sam's talking, Sam looks like he's going to, as soon as he's done talking to us, he's going to go outside of his cabin and go fishing.
Nice.
Yeah, it was very personable. It didn't seem stuffy, and the guys, they talked about how they got started with homebrewing, how they got into building breweries. They actually voiced their opinions on macro beers and big beer.
Now, did they like talk amongst themselves, or did they talk to the audience? You know what I mean?
It was like coming into. I'll tell you what it was like.
Walking into their living room while they're having a beer around the table, kind of a thing.
It was like walking into a bar, sitting down next to them, and like talking beer.
That is awesome.
Because they were also answering questions that people had posted. Now they could have done more. That was like the plus side.
Sure. Negative.
And also, as soon as they get done recording it, it gets posted to YouTube, so you can go back and watch the archive of this. Which there will be a link from our page on it. The downside was. There's no real clear-cut way to ask a question. Like, people weren't sure how to get the questions to them because they said you could do it on Twitter.
If they did a Twitter feed and somebody moderated just that and threw out the questions in a door in the conversation, that might be a good avenue to take.
Yeah, like that could work. They only answer a few questions, maybe three or four.
But, you know, if there's a ton of people in the room, they can't answer everyone's question.
Exactly. There was like 300 and some people on the Google side.
That's another point, too. You don't have to be a Google Plus member
if you're on YouTube, you can just watch it live. And they had a link to the stream. So that part was cool. I hope they do more of these.
Yeah, did they mention Dornis on a regular basis?
Well, they sounded pretty receptive to doing it again because they say, you know, our schedules are very, very busy.
Right,
so fun time
right.
for all of us.
And, you know, and so
and
are
Will
ours,
said,
dude.
Hey, if you can, even if one of you, like Sam, if you just want to do a hangout sometime, and Sam's like, I would absolutely do this again. This is great.
Yeah.
I think this
and
is fun.
Let me just put this out there as well. You know, depending on our schedule, obviously, Spoon, you know, got to kind of coordinate around our schedule as well. But if any of you guys, you know, want to talk to a brewer or, you know, hang out with them here, we can probably set that up through Should I Drink That and get a hold of these guys, and you can ask them any question you want. And I think it'll be a great avenue to go with, man.
In fact, for all you guys, when we did the interview with Matt Allen.
Yeah, that was a perfect example of how well that'll work.
We actually did that with Google Hangouts. Mm-hmm. He was in the middle of, he was in the process of finishing up his brewery, which opened.
And by the way, the brew pub in Meadville is now open. If you didn't know that already, I was there, 3 weeks ago, I think, before I left for Kansas City. Really cool place. I highly recommend it. Go on there if you're in the local area.
Yeah, that's just a perfect example of how we got to work. So,
right.
You know, somebody...
and by the way, Spoon, I was talking to Matt. He wants to come back on the Google Plus thing just to talk about all the new shit's going on with him. And
hey, all you need is an internet connection, and you're good.
Yep.
So, yeah, it was very cool. I hope they do it again. And if anyone would like to schedule a hangout with us or wants to jump in, let us know. Thursday nights, there's
Thursday
a
Thursday night beer hangout on Google Plus.
Yeah, there's a Thursday night beer hangout that we usually jump in on. So friend us or follow us, put us in your circle on Google Plus.
Yeah, let us know, man. And like I said, you know, if there's any brewer out there that you want to maybe interact with on the Google Plus, on Google Plus, let us know, man. We'll see if we can make that happen.
Yeah, as long as they have a webcam, we found out a lot of people are pretty receptive to this. So honestly, this is going to be like the future of craft beer online is going to be going through this.
Oh, yeah, definitely, dude. I think this is the future of media itself online.
Oh, yeah.
They're putting the power to the people here, you know, Google is. I mean, you can make it look like a newscast now. You got lower thirds and, you know, all that control.
Yeah, we were just playing with that. You guys can't see that.
If you don't know what lower thirds are, it's that little bar across the bottom of the screen that shows a person's name and all that crap. But, dude, I'm excited. This is a new avenue for us, and I really want to abuse it and take advantage of it, as I think it's the way to go, man.
I'm a fan of taking advantage of anything that's free.
Yeah, amen, brother. Oh, and by the way, congrats again to our friends at Shoebrew.
Oh, sweet Jesus, yes.
They got their Kickstarter project funded, and he's been posting pictures, man. He's got the Sabco Brewing set up, and they're actually putting the building together now and setting it up. So I'm very proud of them and very happy for them. You know, it's just a beautiful thing to see.
Great job, guys.
Zach and Erica, cheers. And... you know, if you're in the local area, support them. We'll keep you updated when they open and shit. I'm sure they'll let everyone know as well, but we'll let our fan base know. And
yeah.
And, we'll probably end up doing an interview there. Actually, I still have one of his beers that we should have talked about a long time ago. He gave us a Scottish Ale. I haven't tried mine yet. I've been saving it for a show, but then I've been on the road and stuff, so I haven't had a chance to even try it. Did you drink yours yet?
Yes.
Nice. How was it?
Not bad. It was okay.
Good? Scottish ale? Typical?
He said the bottle that I got was actually out of a growler that got filled or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
So I was like, dude, it still tasted good. So that was me.
But yeah, dude, I'm really looking forward to a new brew pub experience around here. So I'm very, very happy for them. I'm very proud that we actually got a chance to participate in that. But all right, dude, you ready to wrap it up, brother?
Yes, I am.
So we had Pilsner, the ale, and the stout. Mine, hands down, is the stout, man.
Yeah, stout. That beer. Stout for me, then the pils, then the pale ale.
Oh, really? I was going to actually reverse that. For me, my least favorite was the pils.
But you can't tell which is which because I
took the labels off. Yeah, dick.
They're going down into my basement after I clean them out.
Yeah, save those, brother, because when you homebrewing again, damn it.
I'm going to start the smaller batches here as soon as Uncle Sam, well, I shouldn't say Uncle Sam, as soon as my employer pays me.
So you're going to do what we talked about, man? You're going to do like 2.5 gallon batches or gallon batches?
I'm going to aim for 1 to 2 gallon batches. I'm going to hopefully just do the 1 gallon
so I can play around with it. It's pretty cool.
Just so I can do the smaller batch and
where your favorite styles and shit lie. It's a great way to go.
Yeah, and because I don't have too much time to actually brew with the kids and everything, so if I could do the smaller batches, and that's fine.
Yeah, it's a great way to go, dude. Yeah. I mean, I use for experimental brews, and if I have leftover ingredients, I'll definitely do a smaller batch just to use it up. But all right, brother. Been a great show. Glad to be back. Like I said, I'll probably, depending on my career decision here soon, I'm going to be maybe traveling a lot more.
So this is going to be very helpful.
Because I'll be getting beers from all over the country and bringing them to you. So that's definitely a perk of traveling for your job, for sure. But, anyway, Cellar Rats, check them out. I think they're only available in Ohio, but don't quote me on that. It's ratbrew.com. I'm sure there's a distributor link there somewhere. But, Pride of Cleveland, Rat Tail Ale, and Black Rat Imperial Stout, man. All good beers. This has been Sick Puppy.
This is the most reverend, Father Spoon.
Or even if it's crap.
We drink it.
So you don't have to.
And at.
Tears. We out, bitches.
Bitches.
Eat a bullet.